excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
Eckers, put it in the win column.
Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, let's get things going this hour. It is Tuesday, October 22nd from the Scotiabank Saddledome in the Hot Stove Lounge. It's Pat Steinberg, Aaron Vickers. On this hour of Flames Talk, this hour is the Sports Drive brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Hello, Vix.
Oh, hello, buddy. How are we doing?
Doing very well.
Good.
Doing very well. And, you know, kind of a theme that we'll get into this hour, that the theme of the hour is the Flames chasing a center iceman, or if not chasing a center iceman, the Flames and their kind of just overall center ice depth chart is going to be the theme of the hour, because the whole conversation about the Flames looking to acquire another center has definitely picked up on the outside since Frank Saravalli's report on Thursday. Now, we're going to hear a little bit from Frank in just a little bit. He joined us last hour, the first hour of Tuesday's Flames Talk, and gave a little bit more insight on the whole conversation. But, you know, I think that this is only going to intensify, and this is only going to become more of a talking point going forward. But, you know, later this hour, we're going to talk about Martin Pospisil and what we've seen from him down the middle, and some of the good things that he's brought to the conversation, and maybe some of the things where he struggled in the first five games playing down the middle. But, look, I think that there's no doubt that Calgary, the area of their organizational depth chart that needs the most or the biggest boost is down the middle. And they definitely tried to address that at the draft in Vegas. But, you know, past Backlund and Kadri, who are, what, 35 and 34 years old,
yep,
respectively, you know, the center ice depth chart isn't very stacked. They lost Cole Schwint on waivers. They brought in Sam Morton. They've got Kirkland. They've got Rooney under contract. They've got Zeri and Sharon Govich and Pospisil, who have been NHL wingers that could play down the middle, but they don't necessarily have, like, a lot of full-on natural centers right now. So you understand why this has been something the Flames have been thinking about acquiring or looking at acquiring going all the way back to the summertime and then into training camp. And then when you hear Frank Saravalli's report on Thursday, it just kind of brings the noise back or on the outside ups the buzz a little bit. But you understand why the conversations are being had, right?
Oh, absolutely. If you look at the demographic of what the Calgary Flames have organizationally, 25 and under, you're pretty content with what you've managed to accumulate in goal. Certainly happy with what you've been able to amass in terms of blue liners over the course of several trades and NHL draft or two. Wings, you're pretty content as well, but you look down the middle and that U25 age group, there isn't a whole lot there for the Calgary Flames. So absolutely it should be a primary area of need, of, I don't want to say concern because that might be a little bit more dramatic, but you have to have that up push of prospects and young players at every position. We've seen it on defense. We've certainly seen it in goal. We've seen it on the wings with how Sam Honzik, Matt Coronato, Adam Klapka have sort of come up. Martin Pospisil and Connor Zeri are good examples of that too. And you mentioned those two names as potential fits down the middle. But there isn't that immediate up push from a U25 center in the organization right now. And that is one of the primary areas that Craig Conroy should be and has identified as an area that needs work, that needs improvement.
Second half of this hour, we're going to talk a little bit more about Pospisil, because, you know, you've dug up some really interesting stats, a nice little nugget that the NHL Edge Stats program has brought to the forefront. But I think Pospisil
plays a part in this conversation, does he not? Yep. I mean, if Martin Pospisil continues to progress positively as a center iceman, maybe the desire or the need or the urgency of that need for the Flames comes down a little bit. Maybe the feel that you need to go and find that guy isn't necessarily as high because you've got a guy maybe internally who is starting to move towards being that guy.
Well, and that's why it's so important to experiment with this now, whether it's Martin Pospisil, whether you get a look at Connor Zeri down the middle at some point this season too. But you have to know what you have before you know exactly what you need. And I don't think if Martin Pospisil or Connor Zeri or both happen to pop that suddenly you don't start looking around the league and seeing what players in a certain age range you might be able to acquire when there's that deficiency in value that you've mentioned a couple times. You look at Sharon Govich as an example of that in terms of finding a player that might be undervalued somewhere that you can put in a better position to succeed in Calgary. You're still going to want to do that, but at the same time, you almost need to know, okay, how many guys am I going to need? Like, this might not necessarily be a one-and-done sort of conversation as you're looking to bolster your depth down the middle. You need to know what Martin Pospisil is and if or not that he's one of those options. You need to maybe have a look at Connor Zeri and seeing if you can identify right. whether he's a fit there long-term as well. It's just you're doing your due diligence as a general manager and as an organization to know what you have and what you don't have so you know what you need to go out and get, but also how much you need to spend in order to get it.
Yeah, and I think Zeri factors into it as well. I mean, I think, even if a Pospisil or Zeri or both turn into really good centers for you down the road or even this season, it still doesn't necessarily eliminate the need of going to get somebody else or look for somebody else because at some point, Michael Backlund is no longer going to be here, and at some point, Nazem Kadri is no longer going to be here. Again, we're talking about a 35-year-old Michael Backlund and a 34-year-old Nazem Kadri, and while they're still playing at an extremely yep. high level, I'm not trying to suggest that they're not in the slightest, but at some point, they're closer to the end of their careers than they are to the beginning of their careers. That's just
math.
you can't, even my poor math can tell you that that's just a fact. So I still think the whole idea of going and looking for one is a valid one. Yes, you need to draft your number one center. You need to draft your franchise center. And I don't think there's any doubt about how important that piece is going to be to the ultimate realization of what Craig Conroy wants to do here. He's going to have to draft that number one guy. And whether that happened in this last draft or whether it's going to happen in this upcoming draft or the one after that, I don't know. But, you know, you need those franchise pieces to be a Stanley Cup contender. And maybe they've got it in Dustin Wolf, and maybe they've got it in Zane Parekh. Do they have it right now at center? It doesn't feel like it. And so that still needs to happen. But acquiring other young centers or finding in your organization other younger guys who can play center at this level, not irrelevant. That's why Zeri and Pospisil are so important, but also looking elsewhere is important too. So I want to just give you a little bit more context. This was Frank Saravalli who joined us on the first hour of Tuesday's Flames Talk and just jumped in a little bit about his report on Thursday, where things sit, what the Flames are looking for, and why this is not necessarily a time to panic or feel like things have altered course for the Flames. Just a little bit of our chat with Frank from the first hour of Flames Talk on Tuesday.
The Flames have been looking since going back to the end of training camp.
Yep.
They're going to continue to be on the prowl for a center. Hopefully, in their mind, someone that fits their age scheme with the team that they're building, like think mid-20s. Think someone that they could have some cost certainty and control with. Think someone that could play comfortably in the middle six. And in a perfect world, if everything went right, someone that's also right shooting. Now, that's a long laundry list of things to want in one transaction with one player. But what I don't really understand and still I'm trying to wrap my brain around is sort of the reaction from the marketplace, which is, why can't this team just be bad? And I think we've already determined just with the start of this season, even though we're barely 2 weeks in, that this team, they're never going to bottom out. They don't. That's not part of their DNA. That's not part of their plan. And I just don't know that it's possible with the pieces that they have. So this is going to be a chip away at this rebuild, try and accumulate as many pieces as possible to continue to add to the pile. And that's sort of the thought process moving forward.
Because I think the important thing is that it's like they're not trying to go and find a 29-30-year-old replacement as a number one center. The thing that really is most important to me is, you know, looking for some center depth and looking for somebody kind of 25-24, which has been part of the MO for the Flames under Craig Conroy since he took over, since they made that Tyler Toffoli trade in June of 2023. That whole idea of a younger guy but who can jump into NHL games right now, that's been a part of this conversation right from the get-go.
Yeah, not only that, but we still aren't even entirely sure yet how big of a swing Craig Conroy and his team are willing to make. I mean, this could be something as simple as plucking someone off of waivers. Now, it's not often you have someone that is a center that fits that age scheme that you'd makes it to waivers, but nonetheless, varying degrees of possibilities in terms of what that acquisition looks like. So, look, it's someone I think ideally that you can continue to build around for. It's not just a stopgap, a holdover, a piece that they're not looking for a warm body to just plug in, I don't think. I think they're looking for something potentially that could be there for a little bit, which is all part of, it's all part of the plan. This isn't, I guess this is the other thing I wanted to point out. This isn't disjointed. People,
right?
Latching on to my report saying, oh, well, like, look, now they're going after a center. Well, I thought we're rebuilding. And it's like, this is part of it. Again, it goes back to trying to accumulate as many pieces as possible and chip away at that to get better and better and build. That's going to be the name of the game.
So that was Frank Saravalli with us in the first hour of Flames Talk on this Tuesday. And I think there's a few important things in there. Again, like the age range is really important. The Flames aren't looking to go and trade away high-value picks for a 31-year-old. I think it needs to fit the age range that we've seen this team go after already, from Sharon Govich to Grushnikov to Ball. You know, somebody pointed out that Kevin Ball would have been in that mix as well. We were talking last week about the kind of young NHLers the Flames have gone after.
Yep.
And Kevin Ball and the Jacob Markstrom trade is a really good example of that. Again, 23, 24 years old for Kevin Ball. So Ball, Miramanov, Sharon Govich, Grushnikov, those guys are all the age range that the Flames – that's not the only thing they're looking for, but it's one of the things that Craig Conroy has identified as part of this plan. Not guys who are 18, not just draft picks, but guys who are still young, still have plenty of runway left at the NHL level, but are a little bit more ready to jump in and play NHL minutes. So that's important. And the other thing is that that's not new. That's not a new part of this blueprint. That's not a new part of his game plan. It's something that has been a part of it since he took over in May of 2023. And again, we've seen him execute that on numerous different occasions. So, yeah, if they're going to go and target a 24-year-old center, that makes sense based on what they're trying to do. And I think that's an important point to kind of underline is not that they're not deviating from their plan. Them going and looking for a center is not them taking a look at a 4-0-1 start and saying, oh, we're better than we thought, rebuild done, let's go and go about our business and focus on this season and making the playoffs. That's not what's happening here.
No, there's no victory lap saying that we've managed to navigate these contracts on players that were pending unrestricted free agents that didn't want to be here, and we've replaced them with several youthful players, and now it's time to be competitive again, and that window is open. The Calgary Flames have always been searching for this center that fits their age scheme that they're looking for, and maybe market inefficiency was the phrase that you've used several times.
Yeah.
And looking at Sharon Govich was a player that had 30 points in 75 games for the New Jersey Devils as a 24-year-old before Craig Conroy swapped him for Tyler Toffoli. So you're looking for players that might be undervalued on the team that they're currently on, but have room for growth.
Well,
can
Ball,
take steps.
Ball could
Ball
be that
can
too.
Fit that just
he
as
he
well.
Was essentially their six in New Jersey last year, and he's playing on their top pairing by all. Like the Anderson pairing has been the top pairing so far.
Absolutely. So if you can find the center version of a Sharon Govich, and that's not saying he's got to score 30 goals and have 60 points in the first season, but if you can find your center version of Sharon Govich or your center version of a Kevin Ball, where the acquisition cost fits what you're looking to do, the age range fits what you're looking to do, and it brings in that coveted, you know, 23 to 25-year-old center, preferably a right shot because the Flames are absolutely devoid of right shot centers in the organization, then that's something Craig Conroy has to look at. This isn't breaking news that all of a sudden the Calgary Flames in their prospect pool and their U25 group don't really have a bona fide center that's going to, you know, play middle six NHL minutes, and that's the Martin Pospisil experiment that we're seeing right now. It's always been a focal point to try and get something on that front done. It's also really hard to find a 23 to 25-year-old right shot center that the acquisition cost is palatable to make a move such as this. They're not just giving them away from 31 other NHL teams, so it's not necessarily going to be something that I would anticipate happens overnight as well. But it has to be one of your primary objectives if you're Craig Conroy. When you do your due diligence and you go through your prospect pool and the players that you have in the American Hockey League and the National Hockey League and go, huh, you know what, we could probably use a center in this age range because looking around, there isn't much to draw from in the cupboards.
Jeff in Royal Oak, Texan, says, any specific player out there you think the Flames could target for center that would satisfy what they're looking for? Do you think Marty Natchez would still be of interest? He also, I like this hashtag you put at the end, hashtag Flames Talk Forever. I like that quite a bit. There are a few that I have looked at or pinpointed and said, that could be a really interesting name. The guy who would be at the top of my list because of that quote-unquote market inefficiency or potential market inefficiency would be Shane Pinto in Ottawa. Pinto's kind of their number three center the way they're using things right now behind Tim Stützle and behind Josh Norris.
Mm-hmm.
Could Shane Pinto be a guy that they are able to go bring in? I mean, remember, last year he lost half a season because of the whole gambling thing. So, you know, the numbers from last year a little bit down based only on that, but he still had 27 points in 41 games, which would have had him on pace for 54 points. So kind of had a nice, I don't want to say breakout season, but nice second full-ish season in the NHL. He only missed because of the suspension. He's got 3 points in five games this year. He scored 20 in his only full NHL season in 22-23. He's a right shot who turns 24 next month. Like, that is the type of guy where you've got maybe he's a little further down the depth chart and maybe not getting the same opportunity in Ottawa that he could get in a place like this. Is not going to come cheap because the Senators know they've got a pretty good player on their hands too. But a player like Pinto is the type of guy that if the Flames were to go out and give up, you know, a couple of assets to bring in a guy like that, I think you could get your head around it. If Shane Pinto, if I'm talking about his brother Mark Pinto, who's 32, well, that makes no sense.
Is that a real person?
Don't think so.
Okay.
But him being 23, soon to be 24, that makes more sense for what Craig and the team are trying to do here.
Yeah, that I don't know how I feel about Pinto specifically, but that's the exact type of player you're trying to find. You're trying to find somebody that's buried
down the depth chart. I have other names as
well. I've got several as well, and that some varying degrees of makes sense. But yeah, if you can find that player again that is maybe not fully rounded out as what he's going to be in the NHL.
Do you want to go back and forth
on
some of those
names?
You
started Pinto?
Yeah.
Okay, let me go Dylan Cousins because that's a guy that at one point had 68 points in 81 games in his early 20s. He regressed to 47 points last season, only got 2 points in seven games. The heat is on the Buffalo Sabres. The acquisition cost, I think, is going to be way too high. Astronomical. And despite the drop in his production, he's actually seen increased ice time year over year over year over year over year from the time he was a rookie in 2020-21 to now. He's playing more minutes this season than he did last, than he did the year before when he had his NHL career high 31 goals and 68 points. So that cost to me is way too high. But then you look back and What did Kirby Dach cost the Montreal Canadiens? He cost them the 13th overall pick in the draft and an additional early third after some maneuvering that Montreal did on the draft floor a couple seasons ago. To me, a move like that might be a little too much.
Do we think it's realistic? And I ask that only because we're talking about a guy who is still signed for three more seasons after this at $7.1 million.
And Dach was a restricted free agent at the time of that deal, if I'm not mistaken.
And do we see the same market inefficiency with Cousins, who's the number two center essentially in Buffalo?
To me, that would be more of a change of scenery than being able to buy low on a player.
Because I've got a guy in Buffalo that I think would fit a little bit more that market inefficiency.
Is he from the Western Hockey League?
Yeah, I believe he's a Calgary product.
There he is. He is so.
Like, Peyton Krebs would be the type of acquisition that I'd say, all right, right now he's centering like their third or fourth line and isn't getting a ton of ice time. And you're like, okay, there's a lot of potential here with a guy that was a first-round pick in 2019, and he is just 23 years old, doesn't turn 24 until January. Like, that maybe is one of the – do I think it would be quote-unquote cheap to bring him in? No.
Certainly a lot cheaper than Dylan Cousins.
But I do think you could get him at more of a, I love the word palatable, more of a palatable cost than you could for a guy like Cousins. Okay, Krebs was a bonus. What do you think of Maverick Bourque in Dallas?
That costs you such a significant piece of your current roster. I have not been on the phone to the Dallas Stars to inquire.
He's 22, turns 23 in January.
He's one of that group with Wyatt Johnston and the other name's escaping
Logan
me.
Stankoven.
Logan Stankoven. Yeah. That is sort of the heir apparent youth movement in Dallas that'll eventually supplant the Jamie Benns and the Tyler Sagans on a full-time level. We've already seen it to a certain degree. That, to me, the acquisition cost is you're looking at, that's not a futures deal the Dallas Stars are probably interested in making. They want somebody off your current roster, and I think that's somebody out of your leadership group. And I think for what you're trying to accomplish right now in the short term, that might be a little bit more difficult, but at the same time, you've got to give to get. And if you truly believe in this player and you're willing to sort of eat that acquisition cost, it's a conversation you have to have.
Like, if all of a sudden Dallas is knocking on the door and say, hey, we want one of your veterans, and we really, like, maybe Bourque again is playing fourth line minutes right now in Dallas. So again, he's 22, not to suggest that he's going to play fourth line minutes there forever, but that could be a guy that you could point to. Okay, one more for you, and then we'll hit the text line.
I wonder if you don't want to shake it up a little bit in Nashville with Philip Tomasino. And looking
like
at that type of player, and we all know the struggles that Nashville has had to start the season. If they're in more of a win now type of window and they're 0-4 to start the season, I don't think a team is
0-5,
and I don't think its team has ever made the playoffs starting 0-5. I might be mistaken on that.
Not in the cap era.
So maybe there's a sense of urgency for the Nashville Predators to get something done that helps them be more competitive now. Tomasino would be a name I'd be looking at.
The text line has a few ideas, so I will jump in on those. Mick says you're not getting Bourque. There's the whole idea of Matt Poitras in Boston, which I don't know if that's a guy that they're gonna look to move out, because he, again, is kind of one of those heir apparents, but they did just go and sign Elias Lindholm to a 7-year deal, which has put Poitras down into kind of that number three spot, kind of 2A, him and Charlie Coyle kind of go back and forth. So I don't mind that one if that's a guy that the Boston Bruins are willing to be talking about. Somebody suggests that Peyton Krebs is a lefty. Yes, he is, but I'm right-handed shot is not non-negotiable or is not like a mandatory
thing. Nice to have.
It'd be nice, but
all things being equal, you take a right shot versus a left shot, but not everything's going to be equal in this conversation.
And that's why I said, like, yeah, Krebs is a left shot, but I still think that you'd be in a good spot getting a guy who's maybe not getting the type of ice time that he could elsewhere. whenever you have a conversation about the Flames acquiring somebody, everybody talks about Dawson Mercer. It just still seems so unlikely that New Jersey would trade their first-line right winger right now. Like, he's on that line with Heischer, and it just seems so unlikely that a guy that, for a team that has Stanley Cup aspirations, like, they don't go and bring in Jacob Markstrom. They don't go and sign... who they sign in a free agency?
The defenseman? Are you
Pesek
talking about
Pesci?
Yeah,
Pesci, right? Not Pesek. Pesci. They signed Brett Pesci in free agency. Like, you don't go sign Pesci. You don't go acquire Markstrom if you don't have your eyes focused on a Stanley Cup. And Dawson Mercer's playing top three, top 6 minutes there. Just seems so unlikely that Mark Mercer, who's played center and is a right shot, I grant you all that. I just don't. I've never felt like New Jersey is going to be moving that guy, and I feel even less like they would now, you know?
Well, and it feels like he's been around in that organization forever. He's still only 22 years old, turns 23 next week, but it just feels like that's a guy that, sure, if you're Craig Conroy, there's not a chance in the world you didn't ask about Dawson Mercer multiple times last year. I'm guessing the answer was always, you can keep asking, we're not moving him.
This reads, I don't think it's a bad idea at all to shop for a center that can grow into a productive role on the team. Don't be forcing players into roles that they're not suited for. That's not going to pay off. The only untouchable asset they have right now is Parekh. As long as the target is 24 and under, I would consider all possible options if I were in Conroy's position. Our buddy Mick says, I don't think Krebs' price would be too high. Let's go get him. Ooh, I like it when I get a sign-off on one from Mick. I feel like I've accomplished something. So Mick likes the Peyton Krebs idea. Again, somebody suggests Morgan Frost in Philadelphia. Tough for me to see that, seeing as how he's essentially their number one center. So when you're looking at least for me, when you're having this conversation, a big part of it is about a guy who's not getting the ice time on his current team that would get significantly more opportunity immediately here. That's why I even suggest Bork. And while I do think he's borderline untouchable in Dallas, I don't know. The Stars window is, like, they need to win. If they're going to win a cup, it's going to be in the next couple of years here. So if they want somebody that they believe is going to push them over the top, then they might have to part with a guy who's on their fourth line but could be a whole lot more. But that's why I put Bork out there. That's why I put Krebs out there. That's why I suggest Pinto, because all those names are of that age range and are also playing a little further down on the depth chart right now.
Well, and I know it's Flames talk, but you got to consider the other side as well. Like, Philadelphia skews younger over the course of the last couple of seasons. So asking them to move on a 25-year-old center in Morgan Frost, it's probably not Philadelphia's MO right now, and the asking price as a result is more than you're going to be willing to spend.
There you go. Just a little bit on the text line, too, when talking about potential center ice. Oh, and somebody else suggested Zegras in Anaheim. I don't know what the temperature is for the Ducks right now in terms of Zegras and his future. You know, I do like him as a player more than you do.
Yes.
I think that he gets a bad rap because of some of the other stuff, like the flashiness.
Oh, I don't mind. Don't get me wrong. I love the flashiness. I love the boldness. I love the swagger. I love the confidence.
I mean, he's been a 60-point player twice in this league, and he's 23 years old himself. If the Ducks are willing to move on from Zegras, I'd have no problem with the Flames going. I don't think Zegras is ever going to be an elite number one center in this league. That's fine. He's still a really good center in this league. He's still a really good player in this league. But again, that would potentially be less of the, I love using the term now because you brought it back up, that would be less of the market inefficiency, and that would be more of the change of scenery and more of the Ducks saying it's time for us to move on. But the other problem is Zegras going to play in a small Canadian market? I'm not convinced on that front either.
And I think long term, I'd be more convinced of Zegras being a top line winger than I would a top line center.
That's also fair. Although I do think he's, I have more of an affinity for him as a player than perhaps others do.
Also, you can't give me credit for market inefficiencies when you're the one who said it historically
Agreed. I just hadn't said it today, and then you said it again. So I'm like, oh, I like that term, so I'm going to keep using it. With Aaron Vickers of NHL.com at AA Vickers on Twitter. My name is Pat Steinberg. Hopefully you're having a wonderful Tuesday or whenever it is you're listening. And, hey, we are well into the season now. We're about 2 weeks into the 24-25 NHL season, and you know that you can catch all of the action, whether it's on this Tuesday in the Frozen Frenzy or elsewhere on Sportsnet and Sportsnet Plus. And this year, Rogers Beyond the Seat is bringing Rogers customers closer to the hottest sports and entertainment experiences. And to kick off the season, Rogers giving its customers and hockey fans across the country the chance to win a trip to any NHL game this season. And if that's not enough, they're also giving away hundreds of other NHL prizes all season long. You're starting to run out of time, though. End of the week, Friday, October 25th, is the deadline to go and enter. If you want to, go to rogers.com/NHL. Once again, contest closes October 25th. That's Friday. One more time, that website for Rogers Beyond the Seat is rogers.com/NHL.
Flamestock is live on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Well, as I said to kick off the hour, kind of the theme is the center ice position for the Calgary Flames this hour. Welcome back, Steinberg Vickers, as we continue along this hour on Flamestock. And the first part of this hour, we discuss the potential of the Flames acquiring another center. And I know that Eric Francis over at Sportsnet.ca has an article up with Craig Conroy. They spoke a little bit about that. And, you know, again, Craig just reiterating the fact that he's interested. And if there's a guy who can help them grow and be with the team long term, he'd be interested in making that pick and giving up some high leverage assets if that's the case, if it's the right player. But maybe, as we said off the top, maybe the urgency comes down if one or both of Martin Pospisil and Connor Zeri really develop into effective, strong NHL centers. And right now, the guy who's getting the most runway and the guy who's getting the most opportunity to do that has been Martin Pospisil, who has now played 5 games to start the year down the middle and has been on that line between Jonathan Huberdeau and Anthony Mantha all year. We're expecting that to be the case again Tuesday night when the Flames welcome the Pittsburgh Penguins. And you honed in a little bit on a couple of numbers when it comes to Martin Pospisil, hey? And one in particular that jumped off the page to you.
So do I take the victory lap, pardon me, or do I be honest?
I prefer honesty when it comes from other people, and then if it makes me look good, then honesty sucks.
I might have been tipped off by one of my editors at NHL.com, but Martin Pospisil has logged the highest recorded speed in the NHL so far this season, 24.06 miles per hour. On that net drive in overtime in the season opener against Vancouver, that really, in my opinion, freed up Connor Zeri to do a little bit of a magic trick around a Vancouver Canucks defenseman before tucking it around Seelovs and giving the Calgary Flames a come-from-behind victory in Game 1.
So that's the fastest burst of speed we've seen from any player in the NHL all season.
Yeah, absolutely. He's currently holding the number one spot. Jake McCabe, which I don't think would have been on my radar, he's at number 2 at 23.67, and Jack Eichel third at 23.50.
Now, that's just a nice way to transition into one of the reasons why the Flames have decided to move Pospisil to the middle is because of the speed he can bring to the middle of the ice and what they believe in. And I think what we've seen so far at different times is, you know, a guy that can maybe open up some space, open up some room for his line mates, which would benefit mostly Jonathan Huberdeau, mm-hmm. and benefit him the most anyway. Kind of that guy that can drive the net and back some defenders off, which gives Huberdeau a little bit more time, a little bit more space, and even that extra half second of time space for a guy like Huberdeau is the difference between it looking like a low percentage pass and it being a low percentage pass. Because a lot of times when Huberdeau's on, to the naked eye, it's like, well, don't pass it there.
Yep.
But because he's so adept at it, because he's so good at what he does, those low percentage passes to 99% of players are makeable for Huberdeau, but that extra half second of time and space goes a long way, and that's a main or the main reason, one of the main reasons why they decided to convert Pospisil to that position.
Well, absolutely, and we heard Ryan Huska talk in training camp about trying to find somebody that profiled maybe a little bit like Sam Bennett, because we all know the success Jonathan Huberdeau had on Bennett's wing. Martin Pospisil brings a lot of those elements, and the first one that's probably comparable is you notice the grit and the disturbance level that both of those players possess. But Sam Bennett was a quick player too. His straight line speed is quite good. It's definitely above average. So you look at what Martin Pospisil might be able to do. And yeah, priority one for Sam Bennett would have been to always drive the far post or drive down the middle and create that gap, create that space that Jonathan Huberdeau used so effectively as a member of the Florida Panthers. And Martin Pospisil just happening to be the fastest player in the NHL, at least by recorded speed at the edge stats that the NHL provides, offers Jonathan Huberdeau that same sort of window that you were talking about to make similar plays when you do have Pospisil driving the middle.
You asked Ryan Huska a little bit about Martin Pospisil on Tuesday morning after morning skate. Here's the head coach on Pospisil's speed and transition to the middle.
His speed is something that separates him from other players, and that was one of our concerns with having him in the middle of the ice. But I think he's figuring out where and when he can use that. So we don't want him to lose the speed that he plays the game with, because he drives defensemen back. He hurries decisions that they have to make, and then it allows him to be physical. But we have seen stretches of that in the middle too, when he's trying to figure out how he can still use that to his advantage. So I think he's done a good job.
Overall, how have you seen him make that adjustment to playing down the middle as opposed to on the wing?
Again, I think he's done a good job. The one area, of course, that he's spending more and more time on is the face-off side of things. And for a younger guy that's sort of learning a new position, especially in the middle of the ice, that'll be something that comes in time.
So that was Ryan Huska, and you spent a little bit of time with Martin Pospisil on Tuesday morning as well.
Mostly I try to use on the forecheck or backcheck, you know. I try to be first guy on the forecheck and first guy to be back checking this one. So yeah, I try to use my speed as I could, and you know, drive to the net in the middle. Now I'm playing middle, so I'm trying to use the speed as much as I can.
How important is that skating element to figuring out what you are as a center in the NHL?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it doesn't need to be a long distance to skate, you know. I also was focusing to do the hard first three steps, you know, when you go to corner in this zone, or, you know, stop and start. So that's also really important. And, you know, use my speed as I could in the neutral zone to gain the speed and enter to the zone.
I felt like there have been nights where he's been really all around it. I really liked his game against Philadelphia in the home opener, and I loved his game against Edmonton.
Yep.
In the Battle of Alberta, where he, I thought, was one of the top two or three players on the ice. That night he had five shot attempts, two high danger scoring chances, and was just all over the place. And he came away with an assist in that game. I've seen some really good things from Pospisil down the middle, and a lot of those things come based on the speed that we're talking about. I've also seen nights like the last two against Chicago and then Saturday against Seattle where he's been a little less effective in that role. So I'm still curious to see how this evolves. I'm not ready to pull the plug on the experiment at all. I think there's still lots of reason to let this play out, especially because there's been a couple of games where he's really popped and he's looked really good in that role.
What I was probably looking forward to most in this experiment, or what gave me the most comfort in seeing Martin Pospisil as a center at the NHL level, yes, it's coming. It's what he did with Slovakia at the World Championship, where on the bigger ice, he was playing down the middle. He was still able to be the first guy in the offensive zone banging the defenseman and then coming back and being the first forward back to support the defenseman. It wasn't a speed concern or Pospisil's ability to navigate the ice because, yes, the NHL is going to be faster, but you're also on a bit of a smaller rink, so that's an advantage. So Pospisil being able to use his speed down the middle was something that I thought was going to be the element that probably would enable him to have the most success down the middle in terms of all the elements of his game. We've seen a little bit of it. We've seen maybe not so much of it at times, but 5 points in five games, still leads the team with 17 hits. There's still a lot of positives, but I, yep, like you, have seen really positive things and some things you'd like to see more of in this sort of experiment.
Jeff in Lethbridge texts in at 960-960 says, neither Zeri nor Pospisil have a chance at being a number one center. Prospects like that are usually too expensive to trade for. I think they'll have to draft one. That's usually the only way to get one. And I want to make really clear that the first half of this hour, when we were talking about the Flames and their search to potentially acquire a center, or this part of the hour when we're talking about Martin Pospisil and or Connor Zeri and their potential of being centers, at no point have I felt like or suggested that they're going to go out and find their franchise center. In fact,
right,
I think we said that you still have to find that guy, and to Jeff's point, you have to draft that guy. If they're going to find their franchise center, it's going to come in the draft. It's going to come wherever they pick in the 25 draft or wherever they end up picking in the 26 draft with their two picks. Like, that's where you find a number one center. Very rarely do you get Joe Thornton just coming to your team like the Sharks did in San Jose. Even John Tavares, who was a little older when he signed his big deal with Toronto, even guys like him are rare to hit unrestricted free agency. Like, you don't trade or sign your quote-unquote number one center very often. I mean, I can think of only a few examples in the last 10, 20 years where that's happened. There's two of them right there. Tavares, Thornton, I think Ryan O'Reilly, when he was eventually acquired by St. Louis after two trades, that would be another example, and that turned into a Stanley Cup. But these guys, and Jack Eichel is the last one that has happened recently, and that also had a ton of drama and back and forth that went into it. So it happens very, very seldom. And so much more often than not, you've got to draft that guy, develop that guy, and build him internally. So, no, at no point did I look at Zeri, or no point have I looked at Zeri or Pospisil or any of the names that we threw out last part of the first part of the hour. None of those guys I'm pointing at and saying that's going to be your franchise center, but it's such an important part of the game that having good depth and having more guys that you can trust is still important too.
Yeah, I think organizationally the Calgary Flames realize that doing an experiment with Martin Pospisil as a center isn't going to make him a franchise-defining or franchise-changing development should he be able to be a center in the NHL. You're looking to see what you have down the middle to see where guys can slot both now and in two or three or 4 years down the road when, as you mentioned, Michael Backlund's 35, Nazem Kadri's 34, and then you have Kevin Rooney and Justin Kirkland in there as well in their late 20s. You have nobody ready to just pop in that U25 group as a center, which is why you would try a Pospisil, which is why you would try a Zeri, just to see even where they're going to slot organizationally. But you're not putting the expectation on them that they're going to be a top-line center should they be able to make the adjustment from wing.
And finally from Craig in Cranston, who says, the point is number 10, lads. Pospisil has been catalytic to his early success and evident confidence restoration. Let's see this play on. That comes from Craig in Cranston. And I do think part, you know, the biggest part to the nice start for Huberto in my eyes has been Jonathan and the way that he came to camp and his off season and his mindset and all that type of stuff. But I don't think Pospisil has hurt, that's for sure. I think that he's been a nice addition, and in some of Huberto's best games through the first five of this year, Pospisil's also been really good for the Flames.
Yeah, I don't think it's a coincidence that when Pospisil, like the Edmonton game that you mentioned, being such an impact maker, that Jonathan Huberto is right there with him as well, and Anthony Mantha for that matter as well.
Well, good conversation. And whenever you start talking about a few positions in this market, it starts to light up the text line. Center ice is one of them, and it did indeed light up the text line. Great stuff at 960, 960 this hour on Flames Talk as we start to wrap things up. Aaron Vickers on Twitter at AA Vickers, our producers this hour, Cam Hughes and Shan Vergie. And this hour has been the Sports Drive brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.